Joining us now from UAB's Infectious Disease Department, Dr. Michael Sagg, who's been through coronavirus and also been on the front lines of trying to figure this whole thing out and get us some good meds to battle this thing down. Dr. Sagg, welcome in. Thanks for being here.
Good to be back with you, JT.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I tell you, I appreciate everything you did for me as far as staying in touch through this whole thing. And it kind of gave me some reassurance that if things were going to go sideways, I had somebody that has been through this and certainly knows what's going on. I got into the monoclonal antibody study at UAB, and still part of that. That'll, guess, go on for a couple of months as far as tracking data and how I'm feeling and nose swabs and things like that. But I don't know if I got the medicine. You don't know if I got it. The doctor that I was dealing with there, Dr. Overton, great guy, by the way, and the staff there at UAB, the only person, I guess, that knew whether or not I got the actual medicine was the pharmacist. Now, they told me that I would know at some point, maybe a couple of months down the road, when it's revealed on who got it and who didn't. But it seemed after I took the infusion, I kind of leveled out as far as symptoms go. Now, I don't know if that was the medicine stopping the reproduction of it by attacking those spikes in the protein on the virus itself, or if my body was just not going to get any worse than I went through, mild to moderate symptoms I had. But what is that actual medicine that was in that study, and is this something that is being used in emergency situations now?
Yes and yes. So this is a medicine that is an antiviral. You described it very nicely just now. It's basically a protein or an antibody, in essence, that binds up the virus and shuts it down. That's at least theoretically how it works. And you also describe very nicely how these trials go, because if we told the doctors or the patients what they were getting, either the real thing or a placebo, that influences how they're going to judge how the thing's working or not. And we'd like to strip that away because we really don't know if it's going to work. Later on, as you said, when the study is over, then the code is broken and everybody's told what happened. But this is the way this is the prime evidence that's used for drug approval. And that's what we all want. We want to know for sure whether a drug worked or not. And this is the only way that we can get to that answer. Now, the good news here is that in the background, there's a data safety monitoring board. That's a group of independent people who look at this. And if they see a huge difference between those who got the product and those who got placebo, they stopped the study because it's unethical to continue. And that's exactly what we've seen with the vaccine trials. The vaccines have worked so well, those studies were supposed to go on for months more. But because they saw the degree of activity, they stopped the trial. So you have that going in the background, JT, kind of watching out for you and for the study itself.
All right, the vaccines, let's talk about that. There apparently now are three different vaccines that they're looking at. One just came out and said they're showing some pretty good promise there. Are these vaccines, to me, if a vaccine was offered tomorrow, I would take it. Now, I know there's a lot of people, in fact, I've even spoken with some healthcare professionals that say, well, I might wait till see if there's any kinks that need to be worked out and go through this, you know, second round. But with these vaccines, if they're offered, they're obviously, you know, safe, right? There's no downside to the vaccine, correct?
Well, that's almost certainly correct, but I really want to see all the data. What we've seen so far is press releases that give us the high-level view, and that it's very encouraging and very positive. But as a doctor, as an individual, I'd want to see the raw data, how many side effects, if any, and to what degree. And so we're going to see that ultimately in the next probably several weeks when it goes to the FDA. But here's the thing. I think you're exactly right. I think these vaccines are a godsend. I don't think we would get out of this epidemic in any kind of way in the speed with which we'll get out of it, such that by next Thanksgiving, we could be back to normal again. But what that means is that we all have to participate. And I'm not trying to coerce people into taking it. But this is an exit. This is a fantastic opportunity. And the fact that all three so far are the candidate viruses the vaccines that have been tested have worked so spectacularly, I think that is just something that none of us really expected. We hoped for, but we didn't expect it.
Well, Doctor,
so yes, I would take it too. Yeah.
Continuing our conversation with Dr. Michael Sagg at UAB's Infectious Disease Department on what's happening with the coronavirus and the battle against it. Dr. Sagg, another one of the studies that UAB was doing, I'm not sure if it's still ongoing or not, was the blood plasma study. And obviously that's using the blood from somebody that's had COVID and has the antibodies to help fight back. Is there a correlation? Do you have to have the same type of blood in order to get that blood plasma from somebody, or is it universal, like type O works with, you know, others, and some A's and B's don't? How does the typing work when it comes to getting that plasma?
No need to have typing for plasma because it doesn't involve the cells. So okay. The plasma is universal. But like you're saying, that the way that works is that somebody who had the infection has developed antibody, and then you take the plasma that contains the antibody and give it to the next patient. So it's very similar to the study you were in, because the monoclonal antibody is part of what a person who's had the infection would generate. To me, the benefit of the antibody study versus just plasma is that with plasma, you're getting whatever's there, good or not. And right. So if the monoclonal antibody, you're getting real product guaranteed within those who have the active product.
And all plasma is not the same. Most people produce antibodies, but some don't. Some produce decent antibodies. Other people produce fantastic antibodies. And the length at which time those antibodies stay within your own blood system varies all over the map, correct?
That's exactly right. So that's why my preference would be, if given the choice, to go with a manufactured antibody, because you know exactly how much it is and how specific it is.
Right. Now, with the studies that are going on right now, since I've had coronavirus, you've had it as well. When the studies complete, the FDA approves a vaccine. Is it good for me to go ahead and take the vaccine? Would you take the vaccine, even though we've had it? And what is the window as far as me not being able to be infected again? 90 days?
Yeah, nobody knows that answer yet. So the best guess is 4 to 6 months after infection, our immunity starts to wane. It starts to go away, and that would be a good time to get a vaccine. We're going to have to do a study of folks like us, because we were excluded from the primary vaccine study because we already been infected. So they took people who have never been infected for the vaccine trials. You asked earlier about, well, why is it that some vaccines last a lifetime and some you have to give every year. And that isn't about the vaccine. That's about the virus. So polio and mumps don't mutate very much. Influenza mutates like crazy. So you've got to create a new vaccine to get the strains that are likely to infect us in the coming flu season. So every year it gets updated. Coronavirus can mutate, but it doesn't seem to be mutating nearly as fast as influenza, fortunately. And so that's why these three vaccines are likely to work for at least a year or two. And we'll monitor to see if it mutates. But that's the reason why there's different schedules for different viruses.
I got you. So somebody that has had COVID, for instance, it would behoove them to get the vaccine if they're not an anti-vaccine person as soon as it's available.
Yeah, I would get it. I would probably participate in a study to begin with, just because that's what I do. But I think once it's proven to be effective and safe in those who have had the infection before, right. Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
All right, I do want you to talk about people getting together for Thanksgiving, and then obviously with Christmas right around the corner, and with the spikes going on right now with coronavirus, not only in our area, but around the country and the world, how important it is that we kind of minimize that and stay on top of the masks and washing your hands and social distancing. Your advice to people right now that are contemplating, they're on the fence about being with family versus staying away.
Yeah, neither you or me really wanted this infection. We kind of walked into it. And nowadays, with the amount of infection that's in our community, the amount of spread, this virus is everywhere. And the way we minimize our chance of walking into it and catching it is by really keeping the number of people that we're around to a small number. And so while we want to be together with our entire family this Thanksgiving, it's not a great idea to put more than 5 to 10 people in a room, and I'd keep it more like 5 to 7 if we could. And I know that sounds horrible, and I'm not trying to tell people what to do, but here's the good news. This Thanksgiving, this Christmas is going to be different, just like this whole year has been different. Next year, with these vaccines kicking in, I think our numbers will come down. We'll be getting rid of this plague, and we'll be able to go back and have a double Thanksgiving next year. So let's look forward to that and keep ourselves safe this year.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll tell you what, it's changed my thoughts on it, having gone through it. You're obviously a doctor and are closer to it than I am. But as you went through it, were your eyes open to the way you feel about it now versus before you had it?
Absolutely. The worst part of it, I mean, President Trump is right. The majority of us who get it are going to live through it. But the living through it is horrible because you never know what the next hour is going to bring.
Yeah.
Are we going to be that person who gets suddenly really ill and has to go to the hospital and maybe be put on a ventilator? That is the nightmare of having this thing, and I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
You're absolutely right on that. When they said, you've got it, that's the first thing that went through my mind. Am I going to be okay with this? And my analytics tell me 99% of people do fine, but there's that thought of, oh, my God, what if it goes the other direction for me? Could that happen today, tomorrow, the next day? And that was constantly on my mind until about day 8 or 9. So be safe, folks.
Doctor, right. And when we
go ahead.
Right. When we say fine, we mean they're going to survive. They're going to live. But the right. living during the infection is not so good. About 50 to 80% of people have some symptoms. And a lot of folks have really severe symptoms, end up in the hospital. Even though they may live, they're still suffering.
Yes. Yes. All right, Dr. Sag, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for being with us, and I'll have you back, and continued safety and health for you and your family this holiday.
You as well, JT, and I'm so glad you pulled through this so nicely.